Okay, we are pleased to be joined in the Victory Theater by today's race winner and his crew chief. Race winner is Jeff Gordon, driver of the number 24 DuPont National GED Plus Chevrolet for Rick Hendrick Motorsports. His crew chief to his right is Steve Letarte. Jeff, congratulations for your victory. Today's win is your 82nd career NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race win. Your first here at Texas Motor Speedway. You got to feel very, very happy about this win and just how your season's going right now.
Thank you. It feels like the first time I've ever won. it's been a long streak. Been a lot of ups and downs and tough times, not only here in Texas, but just over the past, I don't know, they keep reminding me, I think it was like 46, 47 races. And I knew we were going to, you know, get one eventually. I mean, I feel like we had some missed opportunities last season, even as, you know, we didn't have a great year, but there were still times we could have won. And so that just keeps you driving and driving hard and pushing forward. But, you know, at the end of this season, I wrote Steve an email and we talked a lot and I just saw the progress that was being made in the final 10 races with how Steve was restructuring the engineering and the team and his efforts. And it just fired me up, you know, to want to do even more than I already was, and you know, this whole year it's just been like that since Daytona. Just see a different look in the guy's eyes. You see a different effort that's being put out, and it's not that you can work any harder. It's just different. You know, the guys are just positive and bouncing their step, and all of us, including me and Steve. And when you have that, you know, you have a great team. That works well together, believes in one another, and you know, all we were missing is that victory, and I can't believe it happened to Texas, but man, this is just even better than any other place. I think this is probably the best place we possibly could have won, because it's eluded us for so long, and to break the streak, not only here at Texas, but you know, over the last 40 whatever races, it's pretty cool, and I'm real proud of this guy. He's worked his tail off to get us here, and this was an incredible team effort today.
Steve Letarte, congratulations. What are your thoughts about some of the calls, some of the strategy that unfolded, and your thoughts in general about today's victory?
I think Jeff said it the best. To win here is just huge for the team, just for the confidence, kind of for everything. But just the way we won, it was a total team effort. I know the pit crew have been beating themselves up since California. They feel like they made a last one slip away there. And, without that last pit stop and coming out the lead, I don't think we have an opportunity to win here today. So I think top to bottom, inside and out, driver on down, pit crew, everyone that built the car, it's just a full team effort. And I think that's what makes it so special is, you know, we knew we could win. We know Jeff can win. We knew the team could win. And to come and to win somewhere we've never won and have truly everybody here today and everybody that built that
double,
car.
Double points for you.
Yeah. And it's just a huge momentum builder. And now we just need to make sure we do the right things to keep the momentum going and to make all good decisions.
We got a little joke around the shop. If we win at Martinsville, that's like it almost doesn't count. It's like half of a win. But when we win places we've never won before, like Phoenix, and
that's what Chad told me.
These are double points.
Yeah, he told me Sonoma didn't count. Sonoma, that was a half a win. Then we went to Chicago. He told me that was a double win.
That's right.
Well, we got one more place now that you haven't won.
It's just one.
That's right.
Just
one.
Got a question. Go ahead. Start with David, and then we'll go back.
I'd just like to point out two little pieces of irony. Number one, if Jimmy had caught you in the past, it would have been 48. So that's not really.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
And then also, Foreigner played before the race. And, you know, one of their songs, It Feels Like the First Time. You said, when you first sat down, this feels like the first time you've won. I mean, that's, for a guy who's won 82 times, that's pretty big.
Well, you know, I think that if you're in this sport long enough, whether you've had success or not, you know, and if you have, you know, you're going to go through ups and downs, and you know, we've had from some of the best seasons in the history of this sport, to some tough moments. I mean, I can't say we've had some of the toughest seasons for us. I mean, we're measured against our success, but when you have the high expectations that this team has, and you go through what we've gone through with all the wins, and then when you don't win, and you have to hear it each and every day, every weekend, when are you going to win? When are you going to win? You go long enough, and it's you feel like you've never won a race ever. And the only thing is that the thing that's gotten me here, and the thing that's gotten Steve where he is, and this team and Hendrick Motorsports, is that we work hard. We know we have the resources. We know we have a great team, and we all individually in that team know that we can do it. It's just about putting all the right pieces together at the right time, and that's what this team did and showed perfectly today.
Question here. Go ahead.
Yeah. Jeff, Steve already alluded to the fact that if you don't come out on that last pit stop in the lead, you don't win. Why do you believe that? And is that maybe a little piece that you all are missing to make it to the championship? And that, because I can remember a day when it didn't matter where you came out on the last pit stop,
right,
you had every chance of winning.
Well, that was long before this car ever was designed. But I think that this track it's very tough to the thing that impressed me the most today is when we came out seventh and we drove to second. I mean, we were rolling right then. That car was just awesome, and Steve just made an incredible adjustment. We actually kind of took out something that we had done earlier that didn't work, and he nailed it. And from that point on, we were a contender for the win today, because we could stay up front, we could run with the leaders, and our pit crew was keeping us in the game. But I really think that whoever was sitting here would tell you the same, that if they didn't get out front, they probably, on that last pit stop, they probably weren't going to win. And while Jimmy was making great gains, and they had an incredible pit stop as well, as good adjustments, obviously, because I didn't even see him in the top five all day, and he was the fastest car there at the end, at least up in the top three or four. And we were real fast right from the get-go, and then we faded a little bit, but we still got the win. But track position these days is so crucial, and we just, as good as my car was out front there, it wasn't very good behind cars, and I saw that happen for a lot of guys. Wasn't just us.
Take a couple more downstairs and then go upstairs. Go ahead.
Yeah, Austin Kilgore, Dallas Blog. Steve, for you, last year you guys came here and struggled early, and basically, if I remember correctly, made the race almost a test session. Is there anything specific from your experiences last year that contributed to the performance today? And then for Jeff, before that last pit stop, Carl Edwards had passed you, and then he had a bad pit stop and was way back in the back. If he had come out up in the front of the field, do you think things would have maybe been differently, or how was, I guess, racing with Carl?
Yep.
How did he perform on the track?
Well, to the first part of your question, I don't think we learned any specific setup stuff in the spring when we were that far off that helped us here today. I think we just learned an important lesson. We had a very good start to last year. Everyone forgets that. We were very, very good till we got to here. And then we just lost a lot and struggled through the summer. So I think we came here maybe a little too confident as a team. And I'm speaking more of engineering, crew guys, crew chief. And I think coming here and struggling like we did in the race let us all remember how finicky this sport is, and how you can kind of go to sleep at night up on top of the world and wake up in the morning on the bottom. So you need to really focus and put the effort in and not take anything for granted. And you assume when you have a company like Hendrick Motorsports and a driver like Jeff Gordon, no matter how bad you are, you should be able to run in the top 20. And we proved that awful wrong last spring when we came here. So I think that was a big piece of the puzzle. Let us all kind of look inside ourselves and decide how bad you really wanted it.
races are won a lot of different ways, you know. And sometimes the fastest car wins. Sometimes, you know, the best pit crew, you know, gets the win. I mean, we in California, you know, we came out second, and Kenseth won the race. I feel like we had the best car, you know, and we came out second and couldn't get by him. You never know how the results would have changed had Carl not had his problems. All I know is our team had a great pit stop. I mean, Tony came. He came in ahead of us, and we went out ahead of him. You know, so I mean, we had a good stop. Carl in the run before that, he was strong, definitely. Earlier in the race, I didn't think he was that strong. So they made some good adjustments, got him better. But on the run before that, when Kyle did his three wide into turn one, and you know was being real aggressive to try to get his lap back. I had him in the 39 ahead of me, and the car just, again, you know, in traffic, just stopped. I just couldn't go anywhere, and just those 5-6 laps running behind them, or the 39, it just killed the buildup of the tires, and Carl was able to run me down, and this time we got clean air right from the start, and we're able to just set sail, and I laid down some incredible laps. I mean, these guys, they tightened the car up and we flew. And you know, I just, this car just punches such a big box, it has such a big box, it punches such a big hole in the air that, you know, the old car, when you got behind somebody, it just made you push. This car, when you're behind somebody, it just takes all the downforce. You're pushing, you're loose, you just have no grip. And so, you know, some guys have got it better where they're better in traffic and behind cars than others. You got to be able to, you know, roll the middle but not get loose. And Carl had that working for him. But, you know, he wasn't there. So, you know, we could speculate and say all kinds of things, woulda, coulda, shoulda, but we won the race, and I think it's because we got out front. And we had a really fast car for the first 10, 12 laps of that run. But, you know, sometimes when you're that good in the beginning of the run, you're not as good the latter part of the run. And that's exactly what we showed. Thank goodness it was 25 laps.
Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, for Steve, this is a 47 race situation for you too. You've gone through. You and Chad are good friends, and so much has happened good for the 48 team in the last couple of years. How is that? How have you handled that? Having that right next to you, with all that success, and is today a day of special meaning because it does end that?
Well, I mean, I think first, you know, you can look at that two different ways. You can kind of be a little childish about it and get jealous, or you could kind of be a grown-up about it and look at all the strength that they bring to our company, the direction they've given our team. That's the beauty of having multiple teams that run well, is when you have a superstar or one good team and you struggle, it's very easy to question your engines, question your cars, question your pit crews, question everything about your company. And it really eliminates the excuses when there's someone that, you know, Chad and I have two offices. They're right next to one another. We have 85 employees that work for both of us. There's nobody else I'd want to beat than the teammate that has the same equipment that we have. And there's nobody else when we have an off day that I love to see win. So it's a very unique relationship. It starts with the personalities. Chad and I are very different people and very good friends. I truly believe in my heart that I have a hand in every one of his victories, and I truly believe he has a hand in every one of ours. And it's very hard for people to understand that, and I don't think it's very hard to write about. And it's a mindset, and we have a true team that fields two cars, and some people understand it, some really don't.
Let's go upstairs for some questions. Go ahead.
We got 6 questions for 4-time and Steve.
Far away.
Lee Spencer, Pond Sports. Jeff, you had 6 finishes of 6 or better leading up to this, but a win just really can set a team on to sail. Can you talk about how infectious, how contagious is that first win? I mean, are they just going to start popping now?
I mean, who knows for sure, but I can say that they, you know, because it's like getting that first win out of the way. Every season you're looking for that first win, and that you get that one off your back and you can breathe and relax. Well, we've been doing that, you know, for 47 races now, and so this is a huge relief, but also very exciting. And I think that this team has already shown how strong they are with their consistency and the battles that we've had already, especially in the mile and a half tracks. And, you know, if we can win at Texas, I feel like we can win anywhere. So, I definitely think there's a confidence in everybody that comes out of this, from Steve's calls, the engineers, the pit crew, myself. You know, it's just every win, you know, just confirms that you've got what it takes. And that's what today is certainly going to do, just like any other one. And this is a great thing for this team. And you know, we really needed not only the bonus points, but that win, that victory, to keep the momentum going. It's great to be leading the points, but you want to be the guy to beat for the championship. And if you're going to win this championship, you gotta show that you're strong, you're consistent, and you can win. And this racetrack is in the chase, so this is a big day.
Next question, go ahead.
Reed Spencer with Sporting News. Jeff, could you describe what happened on the lap 259 restart with Junior in the lead when it looked like he spun his tires and you took the lead at that point?
I didn't see a whole lot of spinning of the tires. I saw Kyle go three wide into turn one and make a really gutsy move. You know, he was pretty desperate at that point because he was, I think, two laps down, one or two laps down, and so he wasn't getting a lucky dog, and so he knew that he had to be aggressive, and we see that out of Kyle, you know, a lot, and it paid off for him, but it pushed Junior wide going into one, and we already had some speedy dry on the track from a blown engine or whatever had happened prior to that, so, you know, Junior got shoved up there, and just took him a while to recover, but I didn't really see any spinning of the tires on the restart. I thought he had a good restart. It's just that Kyle just came out of nowhere. He just shot up there, and I mean, there was room for half a car, and he made it wide enough for one, and like I said, it paid off for him, but it was a big moment that I thought we were going to have a heck of a wreck.
Next question, go ahead.
Gary Graves, USA Today. Lee asked the question I wanted to ask, but what was it like driving the victory lane here? I mean, did you have any problems trying to find it? Did you need anybody to point it out for you?
Heck yeah. It was the coolest. I'm telling you, it's like winning for the very first time. It was all those emotions and excitement, and I wanted to, you know. I mean, I've been watching, you know, things have changed since I've won a race. It doesn't take long. You know, a season goes by and guys recreate, you know, how they celebrate a victory from getting the checkered flag. That's the first time I've ever carried a checkered flag around a race win in NASCAR. I used to do that in quarter midgets back when I was about 8. But, you know, I'd never done that before, but I've been watching these other guys do it. I can't do a backflip, so I'm not going to do that. And I did a heck of a good burnout, I thought. So, you know, I was proud of that. And I did it so good, I blew the rear tires off the car, at least one of them, on the back straightaway. I didn't want those fans back there to miss out on the burnout. And proudly carried that checkered flag. And the good thing about these days is you don't have to worry about finding victory lane. They'll point you to it. It doesn't matter what direction you come down pit road, you'll find your way, dude.
Next question. Go ahead.
Monty Dutton, Gaston Gazette. Jeff, you'll forgive a small personal note, but your rookie year was my rookie year, and as long as you went without winning, the older I felt there for a while. But
me too.
Well, I have more reason for that. But I wanted to ask you is that everything, you know, before you win at a track, you sort of have to say the upbeat thing, and you have to accentuate the positive. Well, now that you have won, was this always at this track? Was there anything about this track that got under your skin or was difficult? Was there a reason you didn't win here, or was it just a coincidence?
No, it's no coincidence. Steve can tell you. I mean, just in our debrief yesterday, I mean, I walked, you know, sat down. I would say 90% of the tracks that we go to, I've got a pretty good idea of what I need in the car and what I need to do as a driver to get around that track and be fast. And you know, I think that's what's helped contribute to our success. And then you got to have a guy, you know, like Steve, who listens to you, believes in what you're saying, then goes to the engineers and you know, finds those key things. And I'm telling you, at Texas, I'm just lost. This is just one of the toughest racetracks out there. The transitions getting into the corner, off the corner, are unlike any other. Yet the corners are extremely fast. There's some pretty good bumps out there. I believe, you know, for me personally, as well as a lot of other guys would probably back it up, that this is the most challenging mile and a half track that we go to. And, I mean, yesterday after practice, I didn't have anything to contribute. I said, I don't know. I'm lost. I have no idea what to tell you to do to it. I don't know if we're good or if we're bad. You know, we have made one thing that I thought was a positive, and they dropped the green flag, and the thing stuck like glue, and I was like, wow, cool. And I drove to the front. You know, I was able to pass Rudiman, got the lead, and in five laps, I was like, oh, here comes old Texas right back. I mean, I was sideways. And, you know, you just get frustrated. You're like, is this me? You know, why does this keep happening over and over and over again? And we faded. And you know, I felt like it's because we were loose. But, you know, Steve, all he has to go off of is me, you know, and I really just think this is not my best track. And I'm really, I feel like we've had moments where we could win here in the past, and I hit the wall, and we had electrical problems, we've just, you know, black cars, we've had issues. But we, even though this is not our best track, and my, I feel like it's probably one of my worst tracks, I still feel like we've been capable of winning, and we proved it today. And you know, there's no coincidence. There's a reason for it, and it's just not a good track for me. And maybe this will help change that a little bit.
Jeff, this is Eddie. Let me interrupt for 1 minute and see if this helps a little bit. $541,874 for first place.
That's a lot. That's what makes it that much more upsetting when you don't win here. Thank you, Eddie. Fantastic. Appreciate it. Yeah. Write me a check. Cashier's check.
We'll stay upstairs a couple more. Let's go.
Jeff, Terry Blount, ESPN.com. As you know, there have been people in the last year or so that have questioned whether or not your better days are behind you. They said, you know, maybe his championship years are done. Is he going to win again? You know, is he capable of doing the things he's done in the past to become one of the all-time greats? I know you never bought into that, but is this...
I thought about it a couple times.
Is this, though, a little bit of I told you so for the people who have doubted you the last year or so?
No, never looked at it that way. You know, I mean, I learned a long time ago, you got to be careful, you know, what you read. I mean, the media and I have a fantastic relationship, have for many years, and it's because I have respect for, you know, their job. They have to tell a story and you know, with as much facts as they have presented to them. And the facts are the facts, you know. We had opportunities that we didn't win. Sometimes it was my fault. Sometimes, you know, there are other circumstances, and so it doesn't surprise me, you know, that was written, and it's okay, you know. It's our job as a team to come together and prove that wrong for ourselves, not for anybody else. You know, I mean, trust me, it doesn't eat anybody up more than it eats us up when we go to a track and we're not competitive and we don't win, we're not battling for the championship, and we, you know, we go through a season like we did last year. Nobody does it eat up more than this guy and myself and this team. And, you know, we just never, I think, lost sight of that and gave up. And honestly, I think it inspired us, you know, to go through that. It made us angry, you know, because not because things are being written about us, because we know we're better than that, and we know we're capable of it. And especially like Steve said, you know, you got our – teammate right there in our shop is going out there and not only winning, but he's winning the championship. And that's also inspiring because you know that it's there, the tools are there. And I'm so proud of Steve. I mean, you know, he stepped up and made some crucial changes in our team at the end of last year, as well as continued with that down that road over the off season. And I saw that effort that was being put in, and that's when I decided, to start training more to, make sure that my family had the opportunity to come to race, but not necessarily Friday and Saturday, so that I could give this team 100% of my focus, as well as, anytime they need to test or do anything, that I'm there 100%, for him. And I don't know how many more years I do have left, so when you know that the cars are there and the team's there and you still think you got it, or you want to prove to yourself, I want to make sure there were no excuses, just like Steve says, no excuses. And so, I'm giving these guys everything that I've got, and we're doing things a little different, and it's all paying off. We're not doing a lot different. It's just the cars are right. The team is on. Our communication's good. I feel great because I've been working out a lot more, and that's positive, mental and physical energy that's happening. And I don't know. I don't know. It's working. That's all I know.
I think we have one more upstairs. Go ahead.
We actually have two, Kenny Bruce and John Sturban. Here's Ken.
Okay.
Yeah, Kenny Bruce, NASCAR scene. This is for Jeff and for Steve. You guys have to be so precise during the pit stops. And Jeff, you have to make sure you hit pit road. You have to make sure you get into your box right and get off pit road. Steve has to be precise with his decisions on what you're going to do as far as adjustments to the race car. When you're doing that late in the race, after 300 laps out there all day, how difficult is it for you all to maintain your focus and not make mistakes at that point?
Well, I mean, that's when the races are won, and that's when you got to be on your game. That's when you absolutely can't make mistakes, and that's when the good teams rise to the top, in my opinion. And we were solid all day long. We fought a great fight. But just like that pit stop that got away from us at California, these boys made up for it, this weekend, and I'm really proud of them. And they had an adjustment to make on the car at the same time. I just tried to do my part, and I think each one of the guys on the team thought the same way, and they all did it. I got in the box a little bit hotter than I had all day long. They like it when I slide the front tires in the box. I did that, and it looked like they were just on it. I hit the mark. They hit their lugs, and the jack hit the post, and it just seemed like everything really went perfect with that stop. And then on the racetrack, and I'm sure Steve can talk more about, his decisions and the pit crew, but on the racetrack, the first five or six laps, the car was so stuck to the racetrack, I didn't have to worry about making mistakes. I couldn't mess it up. But after that, the balance started going away, and I kept telling myself, don't make a mistake, don't overdrive it. And I did a couple times, but recovered. And then it was just hitting my marks, not making mistakes, especially when I had Jimmy running me down. I knew it was going to be really easy to, and I made a couple. I mean, it's hard not to, but the wind was playing a lot of havoc on things. That wind was blowing me around, and I get into one just like I did the lap before, and all of a sudden, car would just jump 3 feet. And I looked up, down the back straightaway to see if Jimmy had the same gust of wind that I had. And sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. But that's what I was focused on. And I'm just glad I didn't hit the wall for making a mistake like I had in the past here leading.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the follow-up, that's what we do. That's what it's all about. And that's why you work 7 days a week all winter long to come here to race is – the first 300 laps are fun, but there's nothing like the last pit stop. There's nothing like the last adjustment. I mean, that's why I race. It's why I've always raced. The races are a little bit longer than what I grew up with, but it's still that last fuel run, that last pit stop. I mean, I always tell my guys, and I can always tell, when I was on the pit crew, I noticed this. There are guys that belong on a pit crew, and there's guys that aren't. and you need guys that they want the ball. They want to be the playmakers. They want to make the difference. And we have seven of those guys that go over the wall, and we have a good group of them behind the wall. Because when I was looking for suggestions while we were running there before the last caution came out, no one was afraid to speak up. You know, everyone had an idea. Everyone had an opinion, and that's what you need in a team. That's what you need in team cohesion. That's how you're going to win races, because I can't do it alone. He can't do it without a good car. He can't do it without a good pit stop. None of us can do it alone. So, I mean, I guess to go to your point, it's actually a little bit harder to stay focused early in a race, because if you can't get focused on the last pit stop, you're in the wrong business.
Another question upstairs. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jeff, this is John Sturban from RacingToday.com. Did you sense during this losing streak, the non-winning streak, 47 races, that as it went on, some fans who weren't necessarily Jeff Gordon fans were maybe rooting for you to win again? Because, you know, when Jeff Gordon wins, it's good for NASCAR. It's good for the sport.
I can't say I ever saw that. I kept telling NASCAR that, you know. Try to get.
None were rooting
get,
for me.
Yeah,
for the record.
Yeah. If you read any of the blogs online, they weren't rooting for Steve. That's what makes it all the better, in my opinion. But you know, I mean, I know that this is a big day for my true core fans. The Jeff Gordon fans out there are celebrating right now and having a great day, and they're going to have a great week. They're already having a pretty good year, but this takes it over the top. And I have so often people, you know, it's so positive, you know, today's your day, you're going to win this one, and it doesn't matter where we go, you know, what kind of day or weekend we're having, they say that to me, and that's so encouraging and awesome to have somebody that believes in you like that. You know, I think that people are, you know, all fans, and I'm a fan of other sports, and I do the same thing. You know, when somebody dominates, you want to see him get beaten. And when somebody is a winner, you know, or good at what they, you know, do, you want to see him struggle a little bit. And so, but you also like to see them do good when they do struggle. And I don't think that's been any different in our case. And so I'm sure there's probably some people out there that maybe weren't big Jeff Gordon fans that saw struggle enough and said, you know, hey, it'd be good to see him win. But I also know there's some that were just loving it that we never were winning. And that's what makes the sport so great, is that we have that kind of versatile group and those types of avid fans. So, but we you know, as long as you have fans out there that are supporting you like we do, you know, it's a great sport. It's a great thing, and good to be me, good to be us, especially today.
Let's come downstairs for a couple more. Let's go with Dustin, then David, and then
Dustin Long, Landmark Newspapers. Jeff, if you go with the theory that as we grow older, we learn from our experiences, What did you learn from this experience the last year and a half? How did it impact you, whether it was either in subtle ways or something in a greater sense? You know, I get a sense of how much, I get a sense of some of how it is, but can you further explain a little bit about what you've learned from this?
Sure. Well, like I said, it was motivation because, you know, it really it makes you question how bad you really want it. You know, how hard are you willing to work to get back, you know, to victory lane? You know, and how hard are you willing to drive? You know, what's your physical condition? Where are you at mentally? Then you throw in the being a new dad thing, and that throws a whole another twist into it, because, you know, it's that's a lot of hard work in itself, and then there's the pride and the joy of being a part of this team, being a father, being a husband, being a son, and you know, wanting to make them proud of what you're doing. And, you know, I realized through last year that I didn't want to just be somebody out there riding around. You know, I didn't want to be somebody that never won again. And I wanted to, you know, I only can play a certain role Sure, I can be somewhat of a leader to the team because I've been around as long as I have and won the races and championships. But, you know, I'm just a tool to Steve and the team. And you know, I just want to be the best tool that an asset to them that I could be. And I was real honest with Steve, you know, over the off season and last year to say, man, you know, you tell me what I need to do. You tell me what we're missing and how I can help. Whether it be from, you know, my role at Hendrick to get him something that he feels like he's missing, or as a driver, you know, committing myself to being the best that I can be. And I, you know, and I read all the stuff, you know, about can't drive a loose race car, you know, can't drive the car tomorrow, all that stuff. It's got nothing to do with that. You know, there's a certain way that I drive. I can't change that. And I've been a lot of different types of race cars. And you know, when the car fits what I need, we go fast. And we've proven that, you know, this year. You know, and Steve, you know, I give him a lot of credit because he looked at everything all the other teams were doing and what Jimmy and Chad and that 48 team was doing to have success and other teams out there. And, you know, he's not afraid to say that won't work for us because Jeff just, you know, drives a little bit different. But what could work in that I think is really making him go fast that would work and make us go faster is this. And he dissects it down and you know, it's just when you back that up and we're proving it this year, it only builds momentum and confidence in what we're doing, that we're doing it right. And I believe we're really just getting there. I think we can even get better.
Take a couple more questions. We've got David and then this gentleman over here. Go ahead.
David Poole, Star Observer. Two quick things. One, I noticed that Ingrid and Ellen weren't here. Was that because they had something else to do or because you didn't think you were going to win?
Well, we went through a pretty tough time here at Texas last year at this race, and you know, we kind of made a decision at that time was that they were mainly going to come on Sundays. They were here all weekend, I was having a rough time on the track because we weren't very good. And then I loved going back, you know, to see Ella and Ingrid in the bus, but Ella was not sleeping too good, so I was up all night and stressed out. And again, it was no coincidence to me that we had the race that we had at this time last year, because it was just a miserable weekend all the way around.
Because, so you're telling me that you passed your hatred for this track down to Ella, is what it was.
Exactly.
It's genetic.
Yeah, she was crying for me at night, all night. But, you know, we just made a decision that, you know, this is a tough sport. You got to take it serious, and you got to be committed, and this is my job. And, you know, they come every chance that they can, and when it doesn't work out, you know, it doesn't work out. I really hate that they weren't able to celebrate with me today, but I think because of this win, we're going to win more races this year, and they're going to be there for those.
And the other thing is that, just let me just call you on it, you whiffed on your sponsors. I mean, you had to actually go to the crib sheet and read them on the side of the car.
Like the first win. I got the important ones, but you know what happens, and I don't know, maybe it doesn't happen when you just win, you know, the first race of the season, but it haunts me at night when we won a few races several years ago, and I missed one sponsor, and that's all I heard for the next week was, well, you didn't get them, you know. And so I just didn't want to miss anybody. And so I'm just going back to the car, going to the patches. I'm like, I just want to make sure I take advantage of this moment. It's been a long time, and luckily they bared with me, and hopefully the sponsors appreciated it.
Take one more question. Go ahead.
Hey. Doug Johnson, 1560 Thunder Road Show out of Houston. Congratulations from everybody in Texas,
thanks,
by the way. And Jimmy talked about the wind. You talked about it a little bit. It was discussed all weekend. Do you think that the car of tomorrow is harder to drive in conditions like this? And then how confident are you coming back in November with what you learned today?
Well, I mean, there's no car that's designed to get through this kind of condition. I mean, those were strong gusts that we had today. And it was challenging because it was really a crosswind that was coming from turn four over to turn two. And so, you get in the middle of the turn, you know, one lap, no problem. Actually, you could use some of that wind to help you. If your car was loose, it'd tighten it up. But then you get a gust, and the whole car jumps or slides in one and two. And then you go down to three and four, and you got a headwind, and you got all kinds of grip. But then as you cross over to where the grandstands were, it was blocking the wind, so you lose there, the wind. So it was treacherous. But this car is it's bigger, you know, it's the roof is taller, and you know, everything is going to catch the air a little bit more, and that's why it punches a bigger hole, and why, you know, when we're behind other cars, it doesn't grip as good. And so I'm sure in a small way the wind's maybe going to affect this car a little bit more.
Jeff, congratulations to you and the